Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, well, welcome back to the table. We are here today, all three of us in person. We made it. by the grace of God, I think I feel like this week, this month, this year.
Year.
I had somebody today tell me, it's just been a decade. This is just the way it works. Like I said, I think I'm going to steal that because I feel like this, it's just life now and I haven't adapted yet.
Amen.
I don't know if I can adapt.
Do I want to adapt is the question. I want to change this back. I want to get back to, yeah. I don't know, if I should go out of this decade, how young does it make me, though? But we are here today, and we're going to be talking about Ephesians. So in this episode, we're going to go through Ephesians 1 through 3. So we have, just we'll give a little bit of background before we get into, because we'll read through them. But we have... that this is one of the prison epistles, right? The prison letters that Paul wrote while he was in Rome in prison. Paul's typical breakdown of most of his letters are, let me give you your foundation, your doctrine. Let me tell you what's expected in the first few chapters. So in Ephesians, it's going to be our chapters 1 through 3. And then his 4 through 6 is, let me tell you how to do this. Like, so here's, yep, this is what you need to do, and let me show you how. Or at least, yep, how it looks, how would it look for you to do this? So, because you can see that pattern in most of his letters. I know that the episode I was listening to today in regards to Ephesians, just trying to make sure I was all set, was, you know, this is his Paulian way of writing, and they mentioned this is how Romans was written too, but I know obviously Romans has way more than 6 chapters, but and just kind of how it broken down. So Ephesus was pretty big city. I guess I didn't realize that it was how big of a epicenter it was, but it was kind of the main city that of that time frame. I'm equating it in my brain as like a New York,
yeah,
type, mm-hmm, city.
I think a lot of trade, yep, came through.
Mm-hmm. It said something in regards to like from every direction the trade was coming through that town.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very wealthy town as a result. And it said it had like 12 million people living in it.
Oh, wow.
Or not 12, sorry, 500,000. Sorry. I have still a 1 and a 2 and there's a slash and my brain says 12.
Boy. Well, and it's also what our brain thinks of as huge now, because 500,000 feels like nothing to, mm-hmm, to most of us in the context of our world right now. Mm-hmm. But back then, huge.
That is. It's, I mean, the majority of the Earth's population at that time would almost be in that city.
Yep.
Or at least the most at one place, I should say. Yeah. If anything else, it'd be all the most congregated. And you can visit Ephesus today, which I did not know. And it's funny, I don't know about you guys, but when I think about, oh, let's go visit these towns that Jesus visited that Paul was in, I see it as like we see it on The Chosen,
oh,
or
yeah.
You know, as we saw it growing up, like in all those cartoons in Sunday school, it's like dirt roads and, you know, clay houses with thatched roofs,
yep, with the sand.
Yeah, and this doesn't sound like, kind of like, I think I know we talked about this when we did Galatians. This is not how it was. It was a pretty big to do in that area that was modern.
Yeah.
But you can, like I said, you can visit it now, and they said only 25% of it is uncovered, but it's still like
there was a lot of
huge
was it slate, or it was filled in over time, over and over, mm-hmm, and over. So there's some of the
the original, like, is that what we're going, is that
it's a long day today.
I know, it's a long day. We're good. We're here. You know what?
No worries. We're all here.
We're all here.
Artifacts and stuff, but it's not a city anymore. There's really nothing there.
Right. It's more like a dig, but like a museum almost, I think, the way that he was making it sound. But he said you could walk through it still on the cobblestones that, that Paul walked on. So those are, like, stuff like that is uncovered. Like, the streets are uncovered, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
So this city was basically known for their worshiping of the goddess Diana, who is also Artemis, just depending on how, like, what, if you're going for Roman or if you're going for Greek, you know, same woman, same mm-hmm. fertility, all that stuff. And I didn't know this. Did you guys know that the statue of Diana is actually in the Vatican?
No. Yeah. Did not.
Just put that on the list of other things that they just like to keep.
Something makes you go,
Yeah, exactly.
I have friends who just did tours of Italy and have pictures of it. So that's the only, that's literally the only reason I know. It's literally the recent time that I found that out. So
it makes you, I've always wondered, what else do they have? You know, it's a full on Indiana Jones. They have that warehouse.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the Smithsonian. That's
think
the
about
Vatican.
All the relics, right?
Yeah.
Think about all the relics that they hold so dear, like John's skull and, you know, I mean, the original communion sets of so it's not actually too surprising that they even hold on to the artwork of that time period and that time frame of Jesus and how that all functions and works and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Just because and it's kind of cool just to know the history, even if you don't believe in Diana, right? Like, in that stuff, obviously.
Right. Well, it's relevant to understand who Paul's talking to and why he has to say some of the things that he has to say.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
You know?
And why there was such a riot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I can go on a tangent, but in regards to, like, the goddess and why he has to address women, but that's for a different podcast. we have time, but not that much time today. So I also didn't know that, I mean, obviously we knew that Paul pretty much, you know, he started the Church of Ephesus. He was like their first leader, and then he coined Timothy as the pastor there, and then Timothy led it for a few years. And then I did not know this until today, that this was basically like that, where John pretty much kind of finished up his.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because Mary, Jesus' mom, mm-hmm. John took care of, so I think she lived here too.
I didn't know that. I wouldn't have thought about that too.
Don't quote me on that.
No, but that would make sense.
I think I heard that somewhere.
I believe you. Scary and ironic, so not funny, haha, you know, that they've had these three well-known pastors, people who are strong in the faith, and that this church still can't stand. Mm-hmm. You know, it still can't, it doesn't end up surviving because of the climate that they're in, because now in that area, there isn't a Christian presence at all. Mm-hmm. It's scary because it's all the, you know, Paul's talking about false prophets and being concerned about them infiltrating the church, and it just shows, you know, that what happens when that occurs, you know, and what does that say for our world now? Like, that is so relevant for us now. Yes. You know, in the church, like, you have people preaching false gospels, you have people preaching, you know, half truths, or kind of, you know, that's changing things, and it's scary to think about, like, how quickly you could fall.
Well, and how easily we do fall prey to just wanting to follow something good, right? Or what mm-hmm. we think is good in the moment, or not wanting to stir the pot or the boat or whatever catchphrase you need for that. But that at the core of what Ephesians is truly about is the foundation of the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how to be Christ followers, not Christians, because that word's also getting thrown around a lot about stuff nowadays. And I just think it's more about being Christ followers, and Christ-like people than the word Christian. But
yeah.
And how to be unified in that with even disagreement happening. Because you can be unified in belief and maybe sometimes disagree on how it goes down,
mm-hmm.
but still unified in what you believe and how and that you want to share it, even if you disagree on how to share it. So,
and that's, I don't know. That's the whole, holy smokes, it just left my brain. I have the phrase in my head. You have the, we've talked about this. What am I trying to say?
Unity in the body, unity, it'll hit you.
It will eventually, but it's that non-salvation issues. Woo! My brain, yeah. that's the word. That's what, you know, as long as your non-salvation issues don't mess with your salvation, as far as you telling other people you can't be saved unless you're doing all these non-salvation issues, then it doesn't matter. The basics is Jesus. You know, who he was, why he came, and, you know, who we came from, the God. You have Trinity, you have heaven, yeah. and how to get there. That's all. That's it.
Yeah. I appreciate, like, I found this little summary. It's from the Bible Project. And it just says, chapters 1-3 says, it introduces God's lavish grace and divine purpose for the new humanity. And 4-6, connects with readers to live according to God's gift and offer a challenge for unity in that new humanity.
I love the Bible Project.
It is the challenge that we face living in this world and not trying to be of this world, even though we are of this world, right? Yes. And trying to figure out how to navigate that, but also to do it with lavish grace and divine purpose. Because it's not us that are, like, I have to keep reminding myself, I like done things done a certain way, right? But it's not about my way. It's about what the Lord's showing me to do to follow his path that he set for me.
Amen.
So, amen.
But I was reading Ephesus is in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And this says the Temple of Artemis is considered to be one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world.
Huh.
That was there. So, pretty big following in Paul's time.
Yeah.
Its current name, because I just looked this up too, because you got me thinking about it, and I can't say it, but it's Selçuk or Selçuk.
Hmm.
Is the current city name in Turkey for Ephesus. I was like, well, how do you go from Ephesus to that? But okay. Whatever. Yeah. Thanks, history.com.
Let's go ahead and we'll start with chapter 1. So, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, to be faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus. Grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the Beloved One. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure and purposed in Christ, as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we have also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we who already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. In him you were also sealed with the promise Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of the Lord, word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed, the Holy Spirit is the down payment for our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. And I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way.
I just want to say, I want to be like Paul. Just to have that, you know, his focus was Christ in everything. His whole purpose was he wanted people to come to know Jesus and really live for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
But I can also,
well, and it goes back to that lavish grace thing, right? Like, this first chapter sets you up for the fact that I want you to, like what you were just saying, Keisha, I want you to know this man. I want you to know this God that has saved me and has, like, transformed me and can do the same for you. Gosh, and like that, and the grace that comes with that, even when we sin boldly all the time, is awesome. Mm-hmm.
And it's like he just really wants people to understand this was God's plan from the beginning.
Yep.
He uses a lot of the words, though, to all of the richness and the blessings and the wealth. He's using those words because of the people of Ephesus, and that's their focus is
what they worked out.
Yeah, how can we make more money? How can we, like, just all of, like, sound very materialistic, which isn't different from today.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, honestly, America, I feel like this letter could have been written at this point to America as a whole.
I feel like we never really change as a group of people. You know, our focus is always the same. Me.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's why he focuses so much on the Spirit is God's guarantee. Like, this is your, I'm showing you over and over and over again of how I'm going to constantly be with you and provide for you, that you don't have to go to these other extremes to provide for yourself. Have I not shown you how many times that I, the Lord your God, will take care of you from the beginning of time to now? So.
That is a very hard lesson to learn.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because I still have not learned that lesson.
Probably why I focus on it, because I haven't either, so you're good.
It's funny that you say that, because that's exact. I've had this conversation with myself all week. Just all week.
Yeah. So the other thing I appreciate about Paul, and it's not necessarily reflected so much in Ephesians, but in some of his other letters, is that contentment to do the work that the Lord's put before you. Like, there's days when I can be perfectly content with the simple tasks and even the hard tasks I have to do for myself, for my job, for my family, for whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
then there's also times where I go, I can't see that spirit of God right now because I'm so caught up in my to-do list or my needs. Like you and I were talking before we started recording, like my day was so stressful that this is the first time I don't have a headache all day long. And I think it's because I'm finally digging into God's word and not digging into my own brain.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And if I start crying, that's why. Anyway, it's because God gives us the people and the places and the things at the times we need it most to focus us back on him, right? And that's Leslie speaking for Leslie, not just trying to preach at anybody else.
No, preach. You can preach right at me. You don't have to, you can say you're talking to me because that's exactly it. I had the conversation with Steve earlier today. I was like, I'm sick of this. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I said, I really don't think my day would have been this mad had I actually got up when my alarm went off and dove into the word, dove into Ephesians. Yeah. Or for our women's ministry, we're going to be going through the Proverbs 31 woman and kind of looking at how that works. Like looking at both of those things this morning, either of them would have helped me. But I also didn't have my walk this morning, so I didn't have even that time to dig into somebody else's podcast about either one of these things. And so I did not get any of that. And I'm like, I don't think my day would feel this heavy if I had done what I was supposed to do.
Probably, right? Pot kettle, I'm here with you.
Yep. So one thing I have is I really liked how the NLT stated verse 4 in chapter 1, because he said, the NLT says, even before he made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. Yep. And I really liked how that broke it down.
Yeah. I think it's honestly why it's probably my favorite version right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's, verse 19 goes, I just like these words, I also pray that you will understand. And it's that word understand, like every other version says something of like, I hope you will discern or things like that. And I like that word too, but understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that kind of language where it's kind of bare bones facts.
Mm-hmm.
He is rich and kind. He's got grace. He loves you. Turn to him. Everything is fulfilled in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul's also really good at prayer. Just saying.
Does it do your Lutheran brain like it does mine when you say forgiveness of our trespasses? Because I just want to keep going, you know, with that. Because I feel like I'm like, I just want... you're talking about prayer, and I just keep it on a saying like the continuation of like the Lord's Prayer in there.
Yep.
And I'm like, in forever and ever, amen. Yeah. You know, like that's.
But isn't that neat how language and the things that we've learned that are not necessarily, I mean, obviously the Lord's Prayer is biblical, but I'm saying, but all the other parts of us that we love from this church body or this experience or that experience also then come back and help us see the word in a different way. Mm-hmm. I just think that's cool.
No, for sure. I do like, I feel like 18 is really kind of what we were just speaking on. It's like in my Christian standard, it says, you know, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the wealth and of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And then, yeah, I know, and then you said 19. So it's like just those two together. It's like, yep. Mm-hmm. But I need my eyes to be open. I need my heart to be open. I need my mind to be open to know where. And I know when I'm this discontent, I know that there's a reason. And I know he's going to show it. He has to get me to the point where he realizes that's what I need. Mm-hmm. Before, like, I know he's doing it. I know why he's doing it. I need to get in that spot where I'm ready for him to just tell me, not just ready because I'm sick of being in this spot, but actually ready. to know what he wants me to do or not do.
And well, where. It even goes back to what verse 4 and 5, you know, even before he made the world, God loved and chose us and knew us. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family long before. So he knows the plan.
Yeah.
My question is, when are you going to write me a little note? And he writes me notes every day. But I'm saying.
Right. No, I, yeah.
When do I get the engraved invitation to understand what I'm supposed to be doing someday?
You know, it'd be really specific.
Yes. I want detailed, numbered bullet points.
At times.
Yeah.
This time you should go here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm good with the schedule. Yep. I'm good with that.
I don't have a problem with the schedule, Lord.
But, you know, I think also in times of discontent and when it just feels like the world is pressing you down, I think that's when it's really important for us to fix our focus on him. And, you know, I can't remember the verse right now, but it's do all things as you're doing it for God, not for man.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's Philippians something.
And I believe you. You are better at that than I am.
Not very.
My thing is, I'm always like, I know it's in there, I just can't tell you where. And I know I've said that before, but that's, I know I always need to get better at that. And I know being in the Word has the way to get better at that.
But it's hard. And it's hard, especially when you had like a really bad day at work and you're working with people you really don't want to be working with. And you're like, okay, God loves this person. But chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, with which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the circumcision, by what is called the circumcision, and which is made the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinance, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being in the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you also being built together into the dwelling place of God by the Spirit.
so he's, you can always tell how educated Paul is in regards to like just the way everything, like the what he says and how he says it and the words that he uses. I know a lot of it is translation on our part, you know, and how the words that we found that would work with the words that he used, but still just even
it had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it,
yeah.
And the words, you know, the word, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It just, it continues just to show how much that he's like, this is what God did for you, mm-hmm. over and over and over. Like, look, he knew this was going to happen. He knew we were going to end up here. Don't lose sight of that.
Well, and to even know that, I mean, obviously he studied the places and the people around him, right? Like, so like much like we keep talking about, like there's so much that we can look at today. Like, we're a divided world, let alone a divided country, right? Over over lots of things, but mm-hmm. you know, like he says,
name it.
Verse 14, he goes, Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews, Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Like, so his death should unite us, but it because of our human qualities and other things like that, we still push and try to make our own way. And, that unity in the body, that unity in the story, that unity in Christ, still something obviously they were striving for back then. And we got it. And I know we get to that in, you know, chapter 4 and chapter 5 and a lot of stuff too, but gosh, just keep thinking about unity, in lots of situations lately. So,
mm-hmm. And that's, I really feel like, you know, that's one of the hardest things is to have a unified church body is not easy. Mm-hmm. To have a unified Christ followers is not easy, because as Christ followers, we understand the basics, but we just keep going back to the stuff that doesn't matter.
The flesh gets in the way.
It does, you know, and though, like we talked about last time, it's all denominations in the Christ body all started out with good intentions, right? And some still have them. I think we all still have good intentions. It's just a matter of there are things that are no longer biblical that they're trying to make biblical. And that's, you know, again, there's reasons that things like that were set into place. And I understand that's how a lot of it is, just to make sure that Christians are perceived and show it a way that everybody should be living. But then...
Mm-hmm. We mess up.
We mess up because, you know, we don't offer grace. We're not offering. We're then kind of saying, well, you're not worthy mm-hmm. enough to be a follower.
You don't fit our mold of what we think God is saying, even though we don't fit that mold either.
Exactly.
And, you know, unattainable, the mold we think is out there.
Yep. And, you know, that's our enemies. That's his whole plan, you know.
Yeah.
And it's to push that, to push division on us. Because if we're divided, then we're not what God intended us to be, unified in Christ.
Yep. And so. That's exactly where that's where Satan wants us. He wants us divided. He wants us looking, focusing on the differences instead of the similarities, the unity. Let's focus on the stuff that doesn't matter instead of focusing on the matter.
And then you know, have a non-believer looking in, mm-hmm. like, well, why would I want to be like that, like them?
Why do I want a part of that?
Yeah.
That does not look fun.
Yeah.
If they're gonna hate me the minute I walk in the door, why am I going to subject myself to that?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why, you know, that's why we talk about it here, and that's why we talk about it. I know the three of us, in here and outside of here, we're like a just come to me, you know what, we'll help you out, we'll do whatever we need to do, we'll show you the way with gentleness and respect. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to sit there and berate somebody. We're also not going to hide it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to say anything that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, just to appease But we're also, we're not going to sit there and tell somebody they're going to go to hell because of this choice or not. Ultimately, yeah. if you go to hell, that's not my, I'm not sending you there.
No.
Right? Like that's not.
And it's not our job to save people.
No.
Jesus did that. So.
Yeah.
It's our job to show them how, be the mustard seed, be the little, maybe a little bit of water here or there, if that's what the Lord tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really to live the light that he's put in us. And show that to others, and hopefully they see it and know that that's part of who they are too.
And they want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always that spark mm-hmm. in everyone, yep. you know, and it's, they might be looking for it, fulfillment in other things and other people. But we all seek that fullness of God. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know in Paul's time, their unity is different than our unity now, right? The issue that they had was now you have the Jews who were used to being a number one. We're the only ones that God called to, you want me to accept who? What? Wait a minute. You know, and I can understand that that would be rough. I can have a little respect on that would be hard, that Jesus tore the veil. You know, his death caused everything to be different for the good for us, because we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to be here without what Jesus did, because I do not believe I have any Jewish descendants in my family tree. You know? So we wouldn't be here. And so Paul, now his unity is, you guys need to like, take a look, like Jesus came, he literally came for everybody. Like this is what he said, like at first, yes, okay, he came for us.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't listening. Now he made sure that he can save everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you know, the whole Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was supposed to break down the hostility between mm-hmm. the Jews and the Gentiles.
It was just, at least, you know, it's supposed to help at that point, even the Gentiles, to realize that they were worthy too. You know, they were able to be a part of God's kingdom now, too, because of what Jesus did for them. Not just God's people, but for them. But again, if you want to talk about looking from the outside, looking in, like, how would it be to be a Gentile and saying, I don't know if I want to be a part of that Jewish community.
Yeah.
Some of those, you know, some of the Pharisees, some of those prominent figures were not exactly the most, you know, upright citizens,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, and they were absolutely condemning.
Yeah.
Because again, that was kind of the priest's role. The priest's role was to make sure that they took your sin and they sacrificed it on your behalf. And they, you know, all of these things for you. And now that's kind of they didn't need to do that anymore.
And the whole Hebrew population, they were supposed to live their life separate from everyone mm-hmm. else. They did everything different.
Mm-hmm.
They called the Gentiles, they're unclean, they're un, mm-hmm. you know, because they were. But now they've got to flip that mindset. And you know, and I don't think God ever meant for them not to love other people. You know, it's just, mm-hmm. you get that mentality that you're better,
mm-hmm.
and that and no one wants to be around someone who thinks they're better than you.
Nope.
Yep.
All right, we can move on to number 3.
Yeah. All right. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan the Creator of all things had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There you go.
I know. It's like,
I just, the whole immeasurably more, like, we can't understand fully what his love is for us. We can't understand fully his power. But it's neat to be challenged to think about. And I love the how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love and his grace and his mercy is for us. Mm-hmm. I like that challenge. Need that challenge.
Yes. I like that he gives us that focus. Like, let's think about, you know, we've talked about what he's done for you, but also let's talk about how much he loves you, how far his grace extends on your behalf.
Yeah. And I like the reminder to not lose heart in the midst of trials or in the midst of not feeling heard, or that you've saved someone or inspired someone or whatever. Just keep focusing on what the Lord's put before you to do. Mm-hmm. That to love people and to share that love and to share the good news with the people that you meet. So
yep. That shine so bright so others can see.
Amen. Amen.
And like we've said it before, and I know it's one of those things that you got to keep reminding yourself, is a lot of times your testimonies come from trials. You shine the brightest when you're in the midst of the valleys, because showing your faith when you're in that valley is way different than showing it when you're on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in that valley and you're still praise in Jesus. Like, I, you know, and I'm not going to say, I always know he's there, but I might not be praising him in the valley as much as I should be, you know, but still having the faith that we're going to make it out of it. I just would really like it to be sooner rather than later, you know, but it's how you go through those trials that really speak volumes on your faith and where you are with your walk with God and how it shows others what it could be like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they go through trials, what it's like to have Jesus with you, whether or not he's dragging you through that sand or if he's picking you up or just walking next to you, you know, through everything. He's there.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is why, I mean, I know this is why we all need to be in the Word for stuff just like this. Because we forget. You know, I don't know about you guys. I personally, you know, God's been around my whole life. So it's just the way I live. He's just there. And I know I take him for granted. I take Jesus, I take the Holy Spirit. I take all of that for granted because it's like, well, you've just always been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I'm envious of the people who come to know him later on in life who didn't have him before because they understand
what it's like,
like to not have him.
Yeah.
And I'm over here going, he's always been with me, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not, again, I mean, I'm not saying every day, but there are days, you know, you just, he's there. He's always going to be there. It's no big deal, you know, and. I need mm-hmm. these kind of verses help you realize that yes, he is, but let's focus on that.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure you understand the magnitude and the army that you have behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what would our life look like if we did, you know, live that out,
mm-hmm.
lived out that understanding of what a big deal this is, what a big deal the cross was. And to really, truly try to glorify him in every little thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have a Monday morning worship planning that, you know, we do every week just to go over what happened over the weekend and all that kind of stuff. And my number one prayer, and I actually have it written down in my little notebook that I take to that meeting every week to keep notes in, it says, Lord, make our worship not about us and what we need, but about what you need us to get out of worship for that Sunday or that message or that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And remove, let me just be your vessel for that moment of worship, right? And so I've tried to adapt that into all the different meetings and different parts of my life that I go through on a daily basis, right? Like, Lord, help me to be the vessel you set before me for this moment, this space, this time, this thing, whatever it is, Lord, but help me to be that vessel that you've created me to be, and help me not to get distracted by the things that I want to do
mm-hmm.
in my to-do list. And it's hard. I mean, there's days when it's, like I said, there's days when it's super easy. It's that confident, go boldly. We can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's days I can be like, let's go, God, I'm with you, let's go.
Yep.
And then there's days I'm like, wait, like you said, did I wake up this morning and actually do anything related to God until I actually got forced to do it later in the day at
yep.
work or, you know, or home or whatever, you know?
Yep.
But yeah. So I think it's that full surrender that we also need to give, which, you know, even Paul, like I joke about this, verse 13 always kind of cracks me up too. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you. So you should feel honored. Like, don't worry, I got it. It's kind of like the martyrdom, like the Mary Martha thing. Like, don't worry, guys, I've got it. I'm taking on the trials for all of us right now. And I know that's not what he means, but that's where my head goes sometimes.
That's exactly where my head went too.
Is it okay?
I'm like, gosh, Paul.
Yeah, like, be honored I'm here tonight at all, ladies, because I've had a rough day. Okay.
You're welcome for my presence.
But it's true and it's not true in that aspect of, like, he's just trying to say, I know that God's with me as I go through these trials, so you don't have to worry about me.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what the interpretation is. I could be wrong. Someone out there who's listening to this, tell me if I'm wrong. But I feel like that's more what he's saying is, you don't have to worry about me because I've got God with me, and he put me here to do these trials.
Yep. No, I think.
But my brain goes the other direction.
It's you're reading that out loud, and I'm like, that's a little, like.
Yeah.
That's a little narcissistic there, Paul.
You know? I'm like. Preach it, sister. You should feel honored. I don't know I should read other versions to see what it says. But.
Well, my Christian Standard said, so then I ask you not to be discouraged over my afflictions on your behalf, for they are your glory. It's not better. But I do think you're right. I think it's a, hey, I'm fine. God's got me. I don't think it sounds as bad as we're reading it.
Oh, that's funny, though. Anyway.
I think Paul was, you know, kind of like Peter. Peter was a little cocky, right? Like he had an attitude, and I love him for it. I really do. But Paul likes to have a little bit do here and there because I think he was so educated that I'm probably hard sometimes to talk to some of these people because he's like, have you ever opened a scroll? Have you? Have you? I mean, I'm just gonna throw this out here. Can you read this?
You know? So, I was looking in my study Bible, and it doesn't even comment on Ephesians 3:13.
Plead the fifth. What is here? I have the message here. I don't not that.
I just looked up the message too. It cracks me up. I'm not gonna lie. Go ahead and read it.
I'm trying to hold on. Where is it? There's three. So don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud.
Now it makes me want to call up my pastor friends and tell me what the actual Hebrew or Greek really means, because now this is just...
I'm going to ask Doug. Anyway. I'm going to ask Doug tomorrow night. Like, sir, what does this mean?
Can you comment?
I can't call him right now. They're at men's group.
Comment on Ephesians 3:13, please.
That's like a lifeline. Dial Doug.
But you know, that's kind of how I see Paul. Just that really bro personality who's like, he loves you, but he's definitely gonna let you know when you are wrong and when he's right.
And it wasn't him that said with gentleness and grace, that was Peter, so he doesn't really have to. He's like, that wasn't my words, I'm not going by that, I can tell you right now.
That's funny.
And you know, looking back, he probably had the most like not loving interactions with the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, he had that with Barnabas, and he's called out Peter, and
I did appreciate when Paul called out Peter though.
Yeah.
And I did. I was like, I love it. That made
it was needed.
It was needed, and it was just nice that Paul's even like, hey, just so you know, you're doing exactly what you told them not to do.
Yeah.
And I do like that. It's a good accountability.
And, you know, it doesn't really say what Peter's response was, but it seems like he's like, yeah, you were probably right.
Yeah, I don't. He might have sulked about it because I can understand. I feel like Peter and I are pretty close on that. You know, I feel like he probably sulked for half a minute, but he's kind of like, okay, fine, you're right. I was just trying to be nice and I conformed. Yeah.
I hate it when you're right.
Well, I feel like that's a pretty good place to kind of end it. And then, you know, the one thing, you know, it's fun to pick out the pieces in the Bible that, you know, cause us humor, you know, that get us to kind of realize that these people were real, you know, these are real people, and it's fun to pick out their personalities once you start looking and digging in and looking in the Bible and looking at the different you know, the different, not only the two different translations, but the different writers, you're seeing how their personalities still kind of can still come out, you know, thousands of years later in this text that's been translated. You're like, okay, you know, so that's going to wrap up our first half of Ephesians. And then, but we will see you next time to go through how Paul kind of gets us to kind of put all that great God's grace and God's unity to into practice. So yep. we will see you next time.
We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.